And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand the things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. In case you're wondering, this move by the believers was not to send these servants of God on a luxury cruise to Berea. It was to get them out of Dodge. The believers' safety, for their thought process for Paul and Silas, was we got to protect these guys. This is a strong proof that when the early church, not the first century church, but the second and third century church, condemned people for moving out of harm's way, they were not considering all the counsel of God, because there is a time to stand and be martyred, and there is also a time to duck and cover. That is just the reality. Next, the Bereans were awesome, at least in the beginning. I mean, they were so awesome, we have a bookstore chain that's called Berean Bookstores. That's why the Bereans were so awesome. Or I said at least that's how they started. Because they were open-minded and searched diligently to see the things that Paul was teaching, to see if they were actually in the scriptures. That's why they were so awesome. But finally, guess what happened? Other people from other places with other influences and not the wisdom of God came in. And then the lights-out fantastic Bereans took a sharp left turn. Ecclesiastes 10:2 says, but the foolish man's heart directs him towards the left. And once again, Paul was sent and escorted to Athens. But this redirection was the plan of God, and it usually is.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us during the show, david@hemusincrease.org. That's David. Let me check. Hold on. It's working. david@hemusincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that phone call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
All right, just as good as the last one. Talking to Dynamite D is when somebody gives you a gift. No, wait. And it is exactly what you wanted.
Exactly.
No way. It's like, oh, that is exactly what I wanted.
That's pretty good, Dave.
That's great. That feeling right there. I've had that happen a couple, not a ton, but a couple of times. And that good fit, that's what it's like to talk to Dynamite D. So here it is. Maybe you've got a prayer request and you want to share that, and we will pray with you. Maybe you've got a praise report and you want to share that. We will hear you and rejoice with you. Maybe you got something that's on your mind you want to share. It's not about kvetching. Okay, there's plenty of kvetch opportunities. We're not even saying anything about it. It's just that right now, for this hour and a half, in the middle of the day, how about a smile? How about encouragement? How about a pat on the back going, let's go. Let's get closer. Let's get one step closer to the Lord. How about that? Let's use that mindset. Let's use that heart. Let's use Hebrews chapter 11, 25. Let's use the texts that teach us about the power of fellowship and encouraging one another. Let's do that. So you can do any of those things. You can call in if you've got a great recipe for apple pie, which we've yet to hear. Or you can even answer this trivia question. Now listen carefully, because the answer is in the answer is actually in the question. Okay? How much of the increase were the Israelites commanded to tithe to God? In other words, what percentage did God command Israel to tithe? If you think you know the answer, which it's self-implied, you just got to reach out to us. It's not complex. You just give us a call. That is 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. How much is the tithe? The Lord's like, you got to tithe, Deuteronomy 14, 22, 29. So when the Israelites were given the command by God, what amount is that? What is that? Okay. In the meantime, we'll do our DNA so we can get our DNA rocking. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. In fact, when I started praying today and then I started, confessing, being a little bit arrogant and so on and so forth, I just knew the Lord was more in there than when I would, before I was confessing.
At least it was both of us confessing. Probably different things, but we were both at it.
I'm up there going, I've done this for a long time. I can't believe I'm this stupid.
I'm
that's
a mess.
Actually what I say. That's what I say. It's so funny. All right, so anyway, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never. I don't care. I don't care if they get mad. I don't know. Who cares? You going to put you in heaven? No. Okay, just think that way. They got a heaven to put you in? No. Okay. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. OPM. Other people matter. A little energy, a little confidence, a little direction towards others will go a long way in not just blessing you, it will also go a long way in honoring the Lord. It will also go a long way in you not carrying your burden so heavily upon yourself because you're so focused on yourself that all you can do is think about the weights that are on yourself. So all of that has wisdom in it. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D, N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. Do the DNA every day, and we are more prepared for what the Lord wants us. Trivia question one more time. And I might not be asking it the best way, but it's, I'm just kind of putting it out there. How much of the increase were the Israelites commanded to tithe to God? So, in other words, how much is the tithe on your increase? Just that simple, okay? Just can't make it any simpler than that. If you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We do need to go into our text, and so we shall, as we are in a phenomenal portion in the book of Acts, which I just think Acts has been great. I think 2 Corinthians has been great. Some of these. With Job, I'm so glad we're at the end of the complaining. I just want to say. So it's like a lot of complaining. Like it's like chapter 3 to chapter 31. Wow, 30 chapters of it. It's like it's a lot of it. Okay, so now, but these books move faster and a little more fun. All right, Acts chapter. Where are we at? We are in chapter 17, and we are at verse 10. Acts 17, verse 10. If I got the right spot, it should say something that very night the believers sent Paul. So I mean, it should be, okay, so you should be close to that, okay? All right, here we go. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogue, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. So let's understand something about the people in Berea. You got to understand kind of two things would probably be helpful to understand. One, and this is important to understand from church history, not every time was the martyr situation that was brought before the early believers was it time to go kill me. That's not exactly how that worked, okay? And sometimes when they tried to kill Jesus, he removed himself from the situation. So it's a matter of timing. There may be a time, you look through the scriptures, the Lord says, now is the time. And so you'll know. You'll know what's going on. You'll know if you got a Stephen situation, you'll know. I mean, it's not even going to worry about it. But the idea behind this is that the early church condemned anybody who didn't just die on the spot, which is like, yeah, you got to be careful, just like everybody else. And then they corrected that as a certain amount of time went by. But the Bereans were very interesting people. And the reason they were interested is because they were listening. They were open-minded. I think most of us know what it's like to witness to somebody or talk to somebody or share with somebody that's not open-minded. Have you ever talked to somebody that's already made up their mind before you share the gospel truth? They've already decided the book was written by man, just like one of our callers talked about. The book was written by man. God is a figment of everybody's imagination, or God probably created it, but then he jetted, which is a deist's theology, which is horrible. And no, George Washington was not a theist. That's wrong. But anyhow, the point is that they've already determined everything because they already know everything because they're so smart. The problem with that is the same thing that a lot of us encounter, and that is if we think we know everything about everything and somebody tries to say something else, we have no opening to listen. By that, it doesn't mean that you should engage in horrible knowledge, but it does mean that you should listen. You don't have to be afraid of anything because, why? You believe the truth, and you can't do anything against the truth just for the truth. You can't change the truth. And so these people were like, well, we've heard a lot of stuff, and some of it's good, some of it's bad. Hey, we'll look. We'll see what you got. And what did they do that was unique is they were eager to listen. And I think that's the pivot point for a lot of Christians. That I was at the gym moons ago before I hurt my leg. So we're talking 3 years ago, right? And so there was these guys, and I would they were my age, and one of them went to a really good church, and the other one didn't go to church, and then I'm the third one there, and we're all moving at about a snail's pace on the machines. Okay, I'm just being honest. And the one guy who went to church was really, like, arrogantly frustrated with the guy he was talking about regarding church, because the guy kept saying, well, I don't know. I'm listening. I don't know. And the guy was mad. The first guy who was sharing was mad because the guy didn't just listen to what he said and do what he says. And that's not the way it goes. You present, you listen, you engage. Some situations will call for that. I will say more of a firmness. I don't really have a problem with that. But Christians do a poor job of listening to where the other person's at. And most people don't go in to the kingdom when you make a presentation of the gospel and just tell them that you're a horrible person and God hates you. I mean, most people don't go in that way. But that's not even the issue. The issue is you got to listen. You got to hear what they say, hear where they come from. Do you know that most people that are not Christians are still searching for comfort? And you know what they don't find is somebody who's willing to hear them and to listen. And what I like about the Bereans, I know it's kind of goofy, just bear with me, is that they were eager. I mean, they listened eagerly to what Paul had said, and there was an openness there. And we need to have that too when we're sharing the gospel, an openness to the people. You can be an effective witness to non-Christians just by being a good listener. That's just a fact. There's nothing weird about that, nothing theologically strange. You know who the best listener is? God. He listens to you all the time. Doesn't it bring you comfort? Be a comforter. Okay. Now, again, going into the theology and going into the text and not trying to pull out and lose the context, the people of Berea were more open-minded, and they wanted to know what Paul had to say. They wanted to know where he was coming from. So they wanted more, and they wanted him to share more. When we come back, we'll go into their most defining moment, which most of you probably already know what it is. In the meantime, we'll answer the trivia question. How much of the increase were the Israelites commanded to tithe to God? 10%. Why? Because tithe means tenth. So anytime you hear the word tithe, you just say 10. 10, 10. And before you get all legalistic on me, between the fees for the temple, the things that people had to bring, and all the offerings, if you took all of that money and you said, this is the percentage I'm giving in regards to the kingdom of God, it's about 29%. So don't get all upset about your 10%.
You know, that'll raise a lot of questions.
It's like, and God, listen, God doesn't need your money. What he needs is your heart.
But what you got to remember is all the money you have is his. Ooh, there, that's the key right there. That's what he's looking for. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So what Jesus said, whoever is not against you is for you, that's what he's talking about. They're a kingdom advancer. It's all good. Now watch this in Luke chapter 11, verse 20 through 23. If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his estate, his possessions are secure. But when one stronger than he attacks and overpowers, he takes from him all his weapons, the armor and the weapons of the foot soldier that he trusted in, and he divides up his plunder. Anyone who is not with me is against me. And anyone who does not gather with me scatters. And you're thinking, but what about the other verse? Watch. Keeping it in context, this person is not for the kingdom of God. This person is neutral, not a kingdom advancer, not a person that's trying to advance the kingdom of God. And when you are not a kingdom advancer, then you are supporting the other kingdoms. You are either in, for, with, through and by the kingdom of God or all the other kingdoms. There is no neutral. There is no, well, I'm gonna sit this one out. There is no sitting it out with God. You're either helping advance his kingdom or helping another kingdom advance. One of the two. So the guy that was casting out evil spirits in the name of Jesus Christ, he's advancing the kingdom of God. But the person who's not for Jesus is trying to be neutral and do nothing, that person's not advancing the kingdom of God. And that person who's not advancing the kingdom of God is therefore against the kingdom of God because there is no neutral. And you're thinking, well, no, there's got to be a neutral. Never heard the joke about the mugwump, huh? Never heard about the soldier that, you know, it was Confederate soldier and then Union soldier had gray on the top and dark blue on the bottom. What'd they do? Shoot at him from both sides. That's what they did. In other words, there is none of that. That doesn't exist. You're either with Jesus in the advancement of his kingdom or you're not. And if you're not, then he considers that against. And you think, well, whoa, that is just rude. Tell it to Jesus. Tell him he's rude. Go ahead. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Not, hey, you know, in your life, you got all these things going on. You got to take care of work. I get it. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to pay this bill and do this and raise your kids. And somewhere in there, do me a favor. And every once in a while, kick it around and think about me and the kingdom. And that doesn't exist. That's not a reality check. The reality check is that you are either for the kingdom of God or opposed to the kingdom of God. And if you try to be neutral, you're opposed.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where I'm going to give Eric some props for the text he sent in. Here's the text he sent in after that segment. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Know when to walk away and know when to run.
That's a good one right there. All right.
We're going to get into the more of the depth of the Breans in a second. So just because everybody's like going, but that's not what their big thing was. I know. Relax. I was just making a point, and Dee and I were talking about it off the segment, was simply this, and that is Jesus, you know, when people would come to him and talk to him, he didn't always just lay down theology. Sometimes he just said, okay, or sometimes because he just listened because he cared. And when you care, you'll listen.
That makes the big difference there.
And that's the difference on love. It's like, if you're caring, you'll listen, right? Okay. It's as opposed to, you know, do this.
You've got to
stop doing that stuff. All right. Doesn't mean you don't preach ferociously at times. That all depends on what the Lord's doing. But if you can't listen, then there's something wrong altogether. Here's your trivia question. How many times was Naaman to wash in the Jordan to be made clean? How many times did the dude, was he told to dip in the Jordan to get clean? Joy-Ann and Cordelia are on fire. I just want to point that out. And Al is also on fire. All right. Let's see. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. You can also send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. How many times was Naaman supposed to, what's the expression, take the dip? That's a good way to say that. How many times is Naaman supposed to take the dip? How many times are you supposed to go into the Jordan River? Okay. All right. That's your straightforward, pretty straightforward question. In the meantime, I do have a couple of jokes. And if you think I'm not doing jokes today, you have lost your mind. So let me do the jokes, then we'll go back to it and finish up on the teaching and the Bereans. Okay, first of all, if you don't love this joke, there might be something wrong with you. Even if you don't enjoy this particular sport, there might be something wrong with you. Ready? When is fishing not a good way to relax? When is fishing not a good way to relax? When you're the worm. See, when you're the worm, you're being fished for.
Okay, I got today.
Okay. Why can't you play hide and seek with poultry in a Chinese restaurant? Because often they have Peking duck. Okay. All right, there you go. A turtle was mugged by three snails. When a police officer asked the turtle to give a description of what happened, all he could say is, "I don't know, officer. It all happened so fast." All right, here's the last one. What is a shark's favorite game? What is a shark's favorite game? Swallow the leader.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
makes no sense, right? Who cares? All right, here we go. Okay. How many times was Naaman to wash in the Jordan to be made clean? For those that are not sure, 2 Kings 5 would be your reference point. If you think you know, you got a limited window here, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Now, let's go back to the text where everybody's going to be screaming, because I can tell they're screaming. Back it up. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived there, they went to the synagogue, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. Here's the key. They searched the scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really teaching the truth. Okay, that is the hallmark of the Bereans, the good side. Okay, and again, we have a bookstore, an entire chain. You have to like that, right? And so this is really important to understand about teaching the truth. So let me just use this as kind of a launching pad. They checked out to see whether what Paul and Silas was saying was actually in the Old Testament. Remember, they're not reading a New Testament. They're checking the scriptures from the Old Testament. So a great example of this truth is the principle of unconditional love, which many people will not like when I say this, but this is kind of how it goes. God's love is unconditional in the sense that it is offered to everybody. But for those who reject God, that love does not save them. God loves everybody in the sense that he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He loves everyone and that he gives the people the opportunity to repent. He loves everybody in the context that all people are his offspring. That's his universal love, right, for all those people. But God doesn't love everybody in the same sense that he has mercy on some and not on others. God doesn't love everyone that doesn't have a heart that repents and gets saved. So because he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. As well as he hates the wicked. This is called distinctive love. So the fullness of love is revealed in connection to Jesus Christ, but not everybody will acknowledge or accept Jesus Christ. So there's universal love that everybody gets in wholesale, but there's distinctive love that saves, and therein lies the difference. That's just the truth of Scripture. People hate that. It's like God's not saving everybody. It's not a universal salvation. Few are on the road. Narrow is the path. And you just that's just the truth. And so what the Bereans did that was great was they searched it to see if that's true. And this is what gave them their distinction. And they are phenomenal because of this. That's not the problem, and we're going to get the problem in the next segment. The issue is, this is the admonition. Do you want to be more noble? Do you want to be people that are more wise or more connected to what God's trying to do? You got to search the scriptures. You hear stuff on this show, you might go, I don't see that. Fine, at least search the scriptures to come to that conclusion. If you don't agree, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. We've talked 1,000 times. You don't agree with everything I say. But if the Lord's using it and helping you get closer, use that, right? Here's our theory in there, our process in there, how we do the ministry. Is like, I'm going to present what I can present the best I can. I've been a Christian. I haven't been a Christian that long. 45 years is not very long. I've had a lot of experience, a lot of background, a lot of stuff. So I'm going to give it to you from my perspective on all these different sides and give you what I think is the best. But you are ultimately responsible before God. Not because of what I say, and quite frankly, not because of what your pastor says, or not because what your spouse says, or your children say, or your parents say. You are responsible before God. Take what the Lord gives you, work it the best, study the scriptures, make sure it's so, present yourself before the Lord. That's your responsibility. It's not going to change. You'll be saved, but can't be blaming the pastor because you went off in left field on something. That's your responsibility. God gave you a brain. He gave you a heart. He gave you the Holy Spirit. You have responsibility before the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. That's why we talk about doing your best. You know what I'm saying? Bring it before the Lord, laying it down. You're still going to have to make the call. You're not going to be able to point somewhere else. How'd that work out with Adam when he pointed to Eve? How'd that work out with Eve when she pointed to the snake? It's like, yeah, everybody blaming everybody. Isn't that funny how that's one of the big sins in the garden? That ain't going to happen. And so when we talk about, like, when I talk about universal love and distinctive love, look, God loves everybody. He offers his love to everybody. People that reject it, okay, you rejected my love. Okay, well, the second part of my love is not going to help you out. That's the distinctive love. Okay, search it. Figure it out. Why isn't everybody saved? Well, because they reject the testimony of God, thereby rejecting God. But in that process, study that. Make sure that's so. And if you don't agree with that, that's fine. Just make sure you do that before the Lord and not before mankind, not before humanity, but before divinity, because you answer to God. Be like the Bereans. Study. Check it out. See if it's so. If God wants you to know it, it's going to really be somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21, and that's simply because God created the universe and the dude can write a book. Okay, I'm not moving from that ever. I'm just pointing that out, okay? All right, let me go back to the trivia question. That was kind of a toughy little teach, right? Oh, everybody's going, oh, I got to stand before God. Yep, you do. How many times was Naaman to wash in the Jordan to be made clean? The answer, 7. 7 times. Why? Because that's what God wanted. And that's what the prophet told him to do. That's why. People would come up with all these theories. Nope, that's the number they had. Do that, right? All right, folks, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's 3 ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Job, I want to read Job 3:25. I don't want anybody looking. I know that the teachings in the church and being a Baptist somebody who's got a Baptist ordination, a Pentecost ordination, somebody who understands what Calminian means, understands what the manifold millennialist is. I get it. I really do. I've been around for a little while. When you're hearing scripture, you don't have to put all the scriptures you hear in certain boxes so they fit your motif of a theology. Sometimes you can just look at it and observe it and go right for it and review it. And Job chapter 3, verse 25, one of the things that Job said is, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." There's a whole teaching on it's because your confession wasn't good. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think God was bragging about Job to Satan. Job didn't know that was going on. That's obvious. But there he is. God's bragging about him. And what Job is like going is like, this is the worst thing that I could think of. And that happens to people. Believers. Good believers. Great believers. Fantastic believers. Lousy believers. And everybody else. It's something that takes place. Sometimes bad things come about in the process. That doesn't mean that God hates you. First of all, the world has rebelled against God and lies in wickedness. So it's not God's fault that the world said, "Hey, we'll run this planet without you. We'll let you know." I mean, that's not God's fault. He's not the one that did that. People did that. And so the idea to understand is that sometimes these tough things happen. The great thing to know is that God has not left and went to Pluto while you're going through these things. In this particular case, in Job, it was completely the opposite of what Job thought because God was bragging about him and Job thought he was in some kind of trouble or some kind of judgment. Hey, guess what? Job was wrong. Something else was going on altogether, which is often the case.
You're here when I need you the most, when I need you the most.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your often challenging trivia question. The second to last one usually is a little harder. Let's see how you can do. What oil was used to anoint the priests? Exodus chapter 30 is your reference point. I have a great hint, but I don't want to give it yet. I mean, it's just a great hint. I mean, it's not even good. It's great. What oil was used to anoint the priests? If you think you know, the number to call, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email to David at HeMustIncrease.org. Joy Ann and Cordelia got the hint before I even gave the hint. That is so good, ladies. That is amazing. In the meantime, we're going to send you up to the website. On the website, there's a couple things to remind you about. Don't forget, there is information there. If you want ambassador information, whether it's brochures, business cards, or bumper stickers. It's really only one bumper sticker, but we give it to you for free. There's no cost. There's no obligation. You have it. You use it. Great. You don't. Great. Whatever you think is best. We trust that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in the best ways there. Plus, also, it's a place to give on the website. Like we told you before, the verse, doing a verse with our giving now. Romans chapter 12, verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. I don't know how you're going to work that out in regards to giving to us, but if you can, that's great. Check it out. Go to HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Corningware. Oh, never mind. All right, so I'll give you the hint. Most people have actually responded with the hint to it than the actual answer. Here's your hint. The trivia question is, what oil was to be used to anoint the priest? And the answer is Popeye's girlfriend. There you go. You guys, everybody should be all over that. Popeye's girlfriend. Okay. If you think you know, reach out to us. In the meantime, we are actually going to do, see, I knew that would help people. We're actually going to do the history. Let's do history, please.
Let's go live in history.
All right, today is National French Fries Day.
Pretty good day.
How do you not like French fries? I mean, you have to like French fries, right? I mean, French fries are good. And one of the things sometimes, I don't know if you guys went through this phase, but when you're going through these different phases, you have different foods that you're like going, and we went through this French fry phase where I had to have ranch dressing where you dip it in ranch.
Ranch over ketchup.
Oh, man.
Ranch over ketchup?
No, just ranch. Oh, just ranch. Straight
no
ranch.
Ketchup at all.
No, like the big potato fries. You put
I have a little ketchup.
Okay.
Or both.
Today's Beans and Frank Day, or Frank's Day, which is Franks and Beans, I guess. I don't know why they call it Beans and Franks. Why wouldn't call it Frank and Beans? That's just so weird.
I think Beans and
It's Franks and Beans, I thought, isn't it?
No, the other way around.
It depends on where you're from. See, if you're from the East, it's Franks and Beans. And anywhere else, it's from. Right. 1908 in this day, the first time in modern Olympics, women competed in the modern Olympics. Listen to this. This is brilliant, okay? 1913 on this day, first movie pie thrown in the face. A Noise from the Deep premieres, and the actress Mabel Normand hits Fatty Arbuckle in the face with a custard pie, starting the long tradition of throwing pies in people's faces.
Wow.
I mean, how do you live without that information? Okay, well, I guess you could, but it's a really good piece of information.
It's interesting.
It's very interesting. All right. Somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. A lot of praying from yesterday's show, but it really encouraged me to stay just more, even more diligent and faithful and true. So I just thought that was important. How are you feeling today?
Well, I have felt better, but I'm alive. You
know, I'll get better. I love these. I felt better, but I'm on the phone, Dave. That's great. All right, my brother. Here we go. And you probably got that without the reference, but it was a pretty good reference. What oil was used to anoint the priests?
Olive oil.
That is correct, Amundo! Now, the first one, when I first looked at it, I kind of thought I knew, and then you know how you, like, you know it, and then you say it, and you go, is that right? You know, you have to, like, double check it or whatever the case, but olive oil, that is exactly correct, and also olive oil, Popeye's girlfriend. So it's kind of like the same thing. Well, we're going to keep praying for you, and we need you to keep praying for us. We deeply need your prayers, and we love you, and we just want the Lord to bless you and heal you, okay?
Okay, God bless you, and I'll keep praying for you.
Okay, thank you, bro. Bye-bye. All right, keep praying for Gary. Keep praying for Noah. You pray for all these people. I'm telling you, it doesn't take that long to pray for them. You think you're going to pray. You can be driving down the road, or you can be anywhere in your house or doing anything and just go, Lord, I just want to remind you, please bring healing into Gary's life in Jesus' name. I think that takes 3 seconds, maybe five. All right, back to the text we go. We are at the critical moment where everybody should have reconsidered the name of the bookstores. Here we go. Picking it up from verse. They searched the scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really telling the truth. Verse 12, as a result, many Jews believed, and some of the prominent Greek women and many men. Verse 13, but when some Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God in Berea, they went there and stirred up trouble. The believers acted at once, sending Paul on the coast, while Silas and Timothy remained behind. Those escorting Paul went with him to Athens. Then they returned to Berea with the message for Silas and Timothy to hurry up and join him. So as we're getting the story in the book of Acts, what happens? Paul does a great job. Does a great opportunity, speaks the truth. People are getting touched. Look, it's not just a little bit. It's like, look, it says, as a result, many Jews believed. Many is not one or two. It's many. I mean, I think, you know, I have many millions. How many? One. No. Okay. I mean, that's not hard. Okay. So there's a lot of people getting saved, and the Jewish people believing, prominent Greek women, and many men. So very influential people all the way up and down. What happens in verse 13? Jewish people from Thessalonica find out that Paul's still doing this. And what do? They stir up trouble. You think you're going to tell me that somebody comes in from the outside influence and just stirs up trouble and that brings it to a close? You bet. That's exactly what the scripture's telling us. In fact, it was so specific that Paul is at once sent away. He was even escorted, which might tell us something. I'm not sure it does, but it might be a nice way of saying they had to get Paul out of there. Get out. Let's go. Come on. Follow me. You know, people look back and they start arguing and then you have to pull their hand. Okay. That kind of thing. But the idea is that they're screwing Paul. And what's going on is that these people come in once there's a declaration of truth. The enemy is not just going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, hey, you know what? Save as many people as you can. I'm just going to sit here and lie down and let you just walk all over my dark kingdom. That's not happening. So sometimes when you deal with family members and you're witnessing, have you ever experienced this where you're sharing something and you know that you've said something, done something that has actually made a kind of like a headway? And then you know not long after that there's some kind of warfare or something blows up or something challenges it. That's the war. That's the Christian war. And Satan is using, in this case, worldly leaders, government and worldly leaders to disrupt the flow. The religious leaders were trying to stop what Paul was doing. Why? Isn't their religion strong enough to stand against it? Why do you have to hurt people if they don't agree with your faith? Because your faith is so weak or you have such a faith, it's so bizarre and cultic that you have to kill people who don't agree with you? What is that? That's stuff based on a lie. That's what that is. It's amazing. You look at this story, it's like he's preaching and they're getting saved. And then instantly the Bereans are pushed like to the side. Now, they're more noble and you love that they did what they did, but they didn't last long. So that's one of the big elements. Then Paul, he's you know, fires off. He's gone to Athens. Now, we would think, wow, he dodged. He went away. He went to Athens. He had to get out of there. It could have been disaster for him. Oh, my, what does that all mean? I'll tell you exactly what it means because we're going to pick this up in this next verse. It means that God wanted Paul to leave Berea and go to Athens because of what he was about to teach and what he was about to preach. And see, how we look at it is, oh, look at that situation in Berea. And how God looks at it is, moving on to Athens. See, in our mind, it's like, well, I can't believe that happened. That's such a loss. I mean, it could have been so many more things. This could have happened, and this could have happened, and I've done that 100,000 times. I bet all of you have too. Well, if the Lord had just done this, or we'd done this, done this, fantastic. But that was not the plan. The plan was to move him on to Athens. God had something else in mind. That was the plan. See, that's why God is awesome, because we think it stays in that constructed little box. It's not working out right here. It's not bad. This is bad. I can't believe it's bad. While God's going, I'm over here now. Come on over here. Come over here. Follow me. Over here. Thanks. Okay. Take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
It only takes a minute. We're just joining our faith really together, believing that God's graciousness is here for this. Father, we come before you and we ask you in the name of Jesus, with help from the Holy Spirit, that you would touch in our audience those people who are physically hurting. There are some where their pain is really intense on a regular basis. It's just very, very draining. And we ask that you would give them strength and you would renew them and you would empower them, but most of all, that you would heal them and you would touch their physical bodies. And even if it can only be for a short period, by your determination, we ask that that would come for them and they would get that relief. And for those that are just drawing closer to you, that there would be some great sense of comfort, some great sense of wisdom and trust, but heal those who are hurting from the smallest item to the deepest and most serious element. Nothing escapes your notice. So minister to those people by your grace and by your mercy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here comes your last trivia question, and this one is pretty easy. Even I'm going to tell you it's pretty easy, okay? Who was the prophet that took over for Elijah? Who was the prophet that took over for Elijah? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Who was the prophet that took over for Elijah? Somebody calling in. Getting ready to do that. Many people answering. It's kind of the fun of it all. Then we're going to finish up on the text. Tomorrow we got some pretty good stuff. I hope you'll tune in for that. And we are still praying about what this next book is. So Hebrews is coming to an end, and a couple other books are actually getting pretty close. So just be praying that we get enough wisdom to know semi where I'm going.
Even remotely where I'm going would be good.
Okay. All right. Do we have somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Or yes, we do. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
I've got a question for you.
Got it.
Which prophet rose somebody from the dead?
Do you want me to make some bones about that?
I think it's the same one that answers your trivia question. Elisha,
that is correct. No! That's so good. That was a nice setup, by the way, Steven. That was really good. That worked out very, very well.
If you notice, some of what he did was just Jesus repeated it, and people thought, oh, only Jesus can raise from the dead. Well, Elisha did it too.
Exactly.
He had a double portion of what Elijah had.
That's exactly right. What's amazing about Jesus is in Jesus, you get the combination of Moses and Elijah and Elisha. Like, you get the combo.
Whereas you get everything.
Yeah, I mean, he could be like each portion of each great leader in their greatness. That'd be a great way to think of it. So, excellent job as usual. I expect nothing less. I just want you to know that.
can I make one more comment?
Yeah, certainly.
Jesus said to his disciples that you will do far more than I have done, talking to them collectively. So collectively, we as a body can do more than Jesus has done.
Correct.
On earth. Not given that, you know, nobody's going to atone for sin the way he did, you know, the redemption in front of the Father. But all the things that he did on earth, we have done more because he told us we could, and he enabled us.
You know, it's fascinating that you bring that up, because what Jesus said is the works that I do. So the sacrifice he gave is not a work, it's a sacrifice. But the works that he did, those works we can do. Even to the point of people have been raised, have been raised from the dead post-first century. It's like, it's pretty hard to argue that. So it's like, and collectively we've done a lot more through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit taking over on earth for what Jesus did. So it's so fascinating. I love it. Excellent call. Enabled by him, exactly. Excellent observation. So very good. Appreciate that, brother.
You have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Great job by Stephen. All right, here we go. So let's get back to the rest of the text. How you doing today, D? You all right?
No, great. Yeah, okay. I'm hanging in.
What is that? Are those your regular headphones on your head?
That is.
Okay. You got one on one ear, one on the other, on the back of the head like mine?
Like always.
Oh, okay. I'm just giving him a hard time. I had to give him a USB port, little thingy today.
So little charger.
Because you were forgetting your charger.
Pretty
thing cord.
I'll tell everybody that.
You know. We tell on each other. All right, here we go. Let's get back to the text. This is fascinating, and I really want you to understand how important this is. I probably won't do a good job of this, but in Acts 17, verse 16, it says, while Paul was waiting for them, so remember, he just asked for Silas and Timothy to join him. So Silas and Timothy are still at Berea, okay? So it's like, hey, I want you guys to come join me, right? And, well, one of the absolute positive realities within Scripture is, you know, the fellowship of one another strengthens one another. It's a blessing of one another. He's in a place. He wants more people there. He wants more of the people he knows. He wants kind of a higher collection going on. So while Paul was waiting for them, verse 16, in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. So it's not wrong for you and I to look at what's going on in society and be deeply troubled by it. It's like, this is, ugh. You look at what's going on, it's crazy. It's like it's in the last, most people will acknowledge this, 40 years ago, if you looked at today, you would have never thought what was going on. It's they've lost all sense of common sense, and it's crazy. But we don't have to be afraid. You can be troubled by it, but you don't have to be depressed by it and, you know, like, you know, go and hide or become a monk. It's like, yeah, it's a drag. But it's proof that the end is coming. And Jesus told us, hey, it's going to get a lot worse. It's like, okay. So until the trumpet blows, until a rapture-style element takes place, until the rapture happens, it ain't going to get better between now and then. Let's just, you know, get on that page, okay? Now, it says this. He was deeply troubled by us. He saw everywhere in the city, like everywhere he went. It's terrible. He went to the synagogue to debate the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. So there's two places that Paul brings this debate, and debating is not a sin. Having an argument is not a sin. Being argumentative is a sin. See that difference? You can have a discussion. You can have a debate. You can have a disagreement. I mean, that happens all the time in Scripture. But he went to two places. He went to debate with the Jewish people in the synagogue. And with the Jewish people were the God-fearing Gentiles. In other words, the God-fearing Gentiles and the Jews were there at the religious place. And you can't get away from, he's upset about the idols. Perhaps the way that the religious structure was going is the religious structure of that day in Athens didn't do much about the idols. Well, obviously they didn't do anything about the idols because the idols were everywhere. So he's debating them. And then he spoke daily in the public square. See that difference? So the public square, that's the where everybody is. You know, in a sense, it's like radio. This isn't actually a sanctuary, but it's not exactly the public square of, like, you know, talk shows on some of the bigger stations or something, in the sense of, you know, they don't do Christian stuff. They just do whatever they want to do. What I'm trying to get at is that Paul debated in both arenas, both from the religious side and from the secular side. It's like, look, and what's about to be set up, what we'll get into next week, as Paul is about to give probably his one of his greatest, if not his greatest, defense of the gospel ever. If you read Paul, go through all the stuff from Acts 9 all the way to Acts 28. If you read it, you know, you look at it, this element that he's about to do in Athens at Mars Hill is the probably the best. And every person that talks about apologetics, and when I say every person that talks about apologetics goes here first, talks about what Paul does in Athens. This is the great setup for the most powerful apologetic for the defending of the gospel declaration and defending the gospel there is in post-resurrection history. It's a mind blower. It's in a secular place.
I forwarded a little bit and read it, Dave, and I forgot we were at the end of the show because I was like, wow.
Yeah. What we're about to go into. So you look at this and you go, that thing with Berea, that kind of like, boy, the air went out of that balloon fast. Not so fast. That was a great forerunner, the great pre-runner to what was coming. And what was coming is the greatest apologetic defense, not just declaration, but defense of the gospel. And you say, well, how do you think it's a declaration and a defense? Because in the synagogue, he's defending, and in the public square, he's declaring. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. You guys are just going to go, oh, I didn't see that one. Because all this stuff's been studied way past me. It's just like, it's way past. But we'll share it together. We'll grow in it together. We'll learn about it together. And we'll learn to stand firm and declare and defend together. How about that? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM.